an email from Kim Keller yesterday. Used to play piano here. She's working late over at the library, and she said, I turned on the computer. I usually, she turns on things to listen to while she's there doing stuff. She said, I went to the church's website, listened to the church, listened to the sermon. It was really cool to hear Trinity Church, and she's just happy to hear about the church and what it was doing and all that kind of stuff. So that's neat that somebody is listening that we do know, and I'm sure she'll listen to some more of them. Anyway, I'd like to read to you just a list. This is out of a topical Bible. I'm not going to give you the references, but what does the nobleman's son who was healed, what does the leopards who were cleansed, the paralytic who was healed, the impotent man who was healed, the man whose hand that was withered that was restored, the centurion servant who was restored, Jairus' daughter who was raised from the dead, the woman who was cured from the issue of blood, the 5,000 people that were fed, the Syrophoenician woman whose daughter was healed, the 4,000 people that was shed, and I'm sure that there's a lot of others that I could go into. The curse with the man who had dropsy was lifted, the restoration of the 10 men with leprosy, the blind man that had his sight restored, and the child who had problems. What did all those people have in common? Jesus, keep going. He healed them. They had one thing, Jesus, but they had one thing that was really in common among all of them. When they came to Jesus, they came with expectation that he was going to do something. In the psalm today, I'm going to read it in King James because it says it very clearly. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. There again is the word wait. We know the word wait is also the word rest. But they came to Jesus, every one of those people who came to Jesus came with an expectation that he was going to do something whenever they arrived there. And that word expectation in the Hebrew is the idea of something that's twined together, something that's straining. And so the idea is the mind, and this is a direct quote, the root is, the mind is straining in a certain direction with an expectation. Those people came with expectation. Their mind was straining, not just thinking, straining, expecting something, and it was a forward look with assurance. So it wasn't a cross your fingers hope. In Luke chapter 23, verse 18, Herod, they bring Jesus to Herod during the Passion, and it says Herod was desirous to see Jesus. He was desirous to see Jesus. And that word there is T-H-E-L-O. Most of you know this. The T-H is th. This is lambda right there. That's actually an O. And that is an E. You guys read Greek. If you don't, philo. Instead of it being the word for expectation, it's the word thelo. And it stresses not a confident expectation looking forward to with a positive assurance, waiting for something, looking for something positive. It says that Herod was expecting, Herod was hoping, Herod was theloing, stressing the will to wish, to imply volition, with purpose to have in mind. What it's saying is, he was sitting there going, I'm going to make him do something for me, because it says, Herod had heard about Jesus and the miracles that he had performed. Remember, he had John the Baptist's head cut off. So he had heard about Jesus. He thought that maybe he was John the Baptist resurrected. He wanted to see this guy, and he wanted this guy, Jesus, to do a miracle. And since he was the king, he thought he could, by his will, by his volition, by just the fact of who I am, Jesus will do something for me. That's where that line that I quote a lot, Jesus, walk across my swimming pool. It comes out of a musical, Jesus Christ Superstar. And Herod's singing, and when they bring Jesus, he sings that line to him, just walk across my swimming pool. He thought because he was the king, he had the ability to stress his will. This is my desire, and you will do what I tell you. You will perform for me like a pet monkey. You will do what I want you to do. But the King James word that we use for hope that applies to a Christian is a different word, and it means to have a favorable expectation, confident, forward-looking, with assurance. It is a positive, forward-looking, with assurance, but it is not that you owe it to me, I demand that you give me certain things. You'll notice that whenever the crowds came to Jesus, they came with a positive expectation that he would heal them, he would meet their needs, whatever it was. And even later on, after he had met the needs and he healed all the people that was brought to him, it said that he was preaching one time and they said, these are hard words, and those people started turning away from him. But still he had met their needs because they had come to him with positive expectations from him. Ours is not to be like Herod. Herod never received from Jesus, but the crowds did. The people who came with a positive anticipation, not demanding it. I guess what I should say is the attitude is a lot that counts. I've got little kids come into the store, and the little brats, that's what they are, little brats come in. They'll tell their grandparents, I want this, I want that. And they're, you know, oh, okay, you can have it. And then they'll immediately go, and I want that too. And I want that. And I want that. And, oh, well, yeah, we wouldn't want to deny this little brat anything he wants. And he doesn't ask, or she doesn't ask. They demand it. They look at him like, oh, you better do what I tell you. They think that they have got the goods on the grandparents for some reason. And it bothers me when the grandparents say, oh yes, you can have that little Johnny, even though you are acting like a snot. Unfortunately, we have been taught, and there's this implication that has come down to a lot of Christians, that whenever you come to Jesus and you're asking for help, that you demand of God, you read in His Bible, you find that promise, and you demand that He gives to you. Well, then you're acting like King Herod, and you're not going to get it if you're approaching God, demanding from God, saying, it is my right, it is my will, it is my philo that I get that. I want that. You owe it to me. You deserve to give it to me. I deserve to have it. I'm in this position of where it's mine. It's me. It rotates around me, and you rotate around my will rather than I rotate around yours. You're not going to get it because of the attitude that you've got. We've always got to have our attitude properly and realize that what we get from God is always a gift. He does not owe it to us. He does not have to give it to us. Even when there's promises in the Bible, He did not have to give it to us. He chose to do it. He loved the world. He chose to give His Son, not because we demanded a sacrifice, but because before we first loved Him, He loved us, and He sent that sacrifice. He sent Jesus Christ to the cross on our behalf. All the other gifts that come to us are exactly the same way. We don't get them because we demand them. We don't get them because we deserve them. Let's change that attitude and say, we would appreciate your help in this matter. We call them blessings, or I refer to them as blessings all the time. But the idea of blessings, I would like to include more into that, because I don't want to make you think that blessings are just trivial. But a miracle is, you can look up the word. The idea of a miracle is something, an event, an occurrence, that is originated in the supernatural and then occurs. Most of us think that all miracles have to go against natural law, like Jesus walking on the water, feeding the 5,000, calling down fire and brimstone. It's just not in the natural order of things. And anything that goes against the natural order, that is what a miracle is. That is a miracle. But anytime, need to lower my voice, anytime something happens to y'all and it's sourced in God, that is a miracle. You can call it a blessing, which is just fine, but anything that's sourced in your life and it comes from God's hands to you, it's a miracle. It's a blessing. It's something from Him to us. I know that sometimes the things I say, last week I was so God, I wish Nita was here. Last week whenever she was telling about the tree limb and the wire and, you know, looking for somebody to take care of that problem at her mother's house, and then she drove in and it was all taken care of. When she took that ink pen and said, it was all taken care of. I don't know if you saw it, but she threw that ink pen in the air. It was taken care of. I went, whoa, folks, that's a Pentecostal moment right here in this Methodist church. I was just so happy. And it's not because she was throwing pins, but it's because she realized that that problem was solved, and she attributed it to God as the source God provided, and it worked out. She was blessed. She had a miracle because it was sourced in God, and you probably could not argue with her and that she would give up that point. She was saying God blessed her in particular. It didn't mean anything to me. It didn't bother me that that limb was up in that tree. It didn't bother Tim that that limb was up in the tree. It didn't bother Charlie. But it was very particular to her, a relief from her, and it was like God said, there, now it's taken care of. Don't argue with her about that. Here's another one. I was just talking to David Kissel just before I got here, and you will not be able to convince him otherwise of this. He came to church at Noble, and anybody been blessed or prayers and requests and praise, and he said, I want to thank God for the prayers that He's answered this week. Dead silent. I'm going, great. Whatever it is, He's not telling us. We walk out of church, and he said, Doyle, God answered my prayers this week. And I know he didn't tell it to everybody because they would have all thought he was crazy. They moved to a new house a few months ago and they haven't been able to get Channel 10 on their TV. They use a TV antenna tower to get Channel 10. They've tried to adjust it. They can't get Channel 10. They've even had people come in and try to adjust the antenna and swing it around so they could get Channel 10 on that antenna. He said last week, he said, God, I can't get Channel 10. Would you help me with this problem? Didn't think anything about it. Major storm the other day went through Lawrenceville. And he said, I don't know what it was, but when it was over with, I could get Channel 10. God blessed me. Don't argue with him that whatever it was that hit that antenna, whether it was a tree limb or whether it was a lightning bolt, he's convinced that God's hand took whatever it was and ping, hit that lightning or hit that antenna, and now he's getting Channel 10. He said, I don't know how long I'm going to get Channel 10. Does not matter, but I do know. I said, God, would you help me with this because I can't get Channel 10, and boom. Storm's over. I've got Channel 10. God has blessed me. He's attributing that to an answered prayer. Therefore, it's a miracle because he sees it as sourced in God. You can call it coincidence if you want to, but he sees it as sourced in God. And his life has changed over the last couple of years. We talk about this all the time because he said, I used to think I had to do everything myself, but now I say, God, this is something I cannot handle. Would you take care of it? And he says, and I just wait. And it just solves. The problem just gets solved. Somehow, some way, it works out. And he says, God is just blessing me so much. If you don't believe God can change an antenna for him, that's fine. You do without your channel 10. He doesn't have to do without his channel 10. Another thing about this whole expecting thing is when we take it to God in prayer and Jesus in prayer, lay it out there, put it out there, and then back away and say, there it is. The psalm said, remember, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. Don't wait on anybody else. Lay it there before God and say, there it is. God, I'm waiting on you. God could send anybody or anything there to take care of your problem. However He does it, that's all right with me. But always be looking for Him to take care of the problem. I realize that the last verse says this, also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. I know somebody's going to quote that to me and say, well, it says right there, it's rendering according to his work. David was under the Old Testament. We're under the New Testament. We talked about it last week. What is our work in the New Testament? Labor to enter into that rest. That's what the book of Hebrews says. Our labor is to work to get into that position where we are resting, trusting in God, being at peace, waiting for the answer, waiting for His hand to wing a lightning bolt or whatever at our antenna so we get channel 10. Resting and trusting. Our work is to get in that position of rest and trust. New Testament, it's still right. For thou renderest to every man according to his work. Our work is rest. And when we come to that position of rest, the prayers will start being answered. The prayers will be answered when we come to a place of rest. We've been told a lot of times, oh, you've got to get yourself right with God before God will answer your prayer. You've got to be right with the Lord or God will not hear your prayer. You know, there was a time in my life that God heard and answered my prayers a lot. I didn't know any better. And then people started telling me that, you know, because there's something I would really want God to answer, to do. And I'd say, here's the prayer, now pray with me. And they said, well, you need to get yourself right with God. You need to pray. You need to get right with God. And then I'm like, oh, I'd be all disturbed. You know, I'd be, oh, I've got to get right with God. I don't know how many nights I've spent in a church all night long getting right with God. I'm not, I like hanging out in churches. Don't get me wrong. Pray all you want. It's great. Go for it. They were partly right. If you want God to hear your prayers, if you want God to be the answer to your prayers, if you want those answers to be miracles and sourced in God and come through for you like the lightning bolt, like the guy whose horse got healed, anything you can think of, it happens when you are right with God. That's truth. And before I got taught, you got to get right with God, and made it my responsibility to get right with God, I had prayers answered. And there's other people sitting here in this church will be able to tell you the same thing. There was a time in our past life, in our history, when God was continually answering prayers in our life, and then we came under the teaching, you've got to get right with God. You've got to work, 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 and make sure that God understands you're really serious about all this stuff. And prayers started not being answered, and it became a long, dry spell, and it was days, weeks, months, sometimes even years before God would intervene in my life or in their lives. Yes, we got to get right with God, folks. Here it is. How do we do it? Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God, He came, He died, and He said, if you want it, I will give you that right. I will give you the rightness of God. Then I have to get right with God by this. God, Jesus, died for me. He gave me His righteousness. He took my sin. I got His righteousness. I am right with You. Here's my prayer. Now I wait upon You. I'm going to work into myself into a place of rest and peace and wait to see Your hand be the origin of the answer of my prayer. We have to be right with God, but from now on, know that your rightness is not determined by how many hours you've prayed, by all the things that you've done. It's by the fact that you trust in Jesus Christ. You trust in His death. You trust in that He took all your failures and He killed them off and gave you all His rightness. Don't let anybody disturb your peace, your rest. Say continually, I am the righteousness of God. You don't get righteousness of God by His mercy. Yes, it is an act of kindness, but the source of the righteousness of God is this. It said He is righteous in making us righteous. He is right when He makes us right. He being the judge set it up so when Jesus Christ died, He says, now I have the right and I'm in the perfect position without doing anything wrong to give right standing to these people who will trust me like Abraham did. I will give them rightness before me. Give them rightness. They don't have to earn it anymore. I will give it to them, and all they've got to do is come to the place where they trust me and say, you gave it to me. All right, I accept that. Yes, you do have to get right with God, and there's only one way that anybody's ever been able to do it, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Get right with God by praying, God, I trust in the blood of Jesus and what He did. Let me read some more scriptures to you. Matthew chapter 8, verse 2. And behold, there came a leper, worshipped Him, saying, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst heal me. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. And there came a leper to Him, beseeching Him, and kneeling down to Him, saying unto Him, if Thou wilt, Thou canst cleanse me. Luke chapter 5, verse 12. And it came to pass, there was a certain city, and behold, a man full of dropsy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought Him, saying, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. Now, one thing that happened with all three of these people, especially the lepers, they broke a lot of laws, Old Testament laws, to get to Jesus because they were never supposed to come into the presence of a person who was not with leprosy. They were never to touch a person who didn't have leprosy. They were to never have contact. They were not to go out in public where they would hobnob, rub elbows with anyone that didn't have leprosy. And yet this person broke all of these Mosaic laws. The guys with dropsy broke these Mosaic laws. The lady who had the blood, issue of blood, broke a Mosaic law, broke what we call the Ten Commandments, broke that lump of laws over there to get to Jesus Christ. He did not reject them saying, you're a sinner and you broke the law. They came to Him with expectation, and without regard to the law, He reached out and touched them. So don't think that the Ten Commandments or anything that you've done will get in your way when you're coming to Jesus with an expectation, with a hope. First of all, with salvation, saying, forgive me of my sins. I want you to remove those and give me your gift of righteousness. I'll trust you for that. He'll give that to you. And then after that, once you're His child, anytime you have a need, you come to Him in the same way saying, God, the things that I've done wrong, don't look at those. Look only at the blood of Jesus. This is what I need because I have right standing before You because of the blood of Jesus. Keep that in mind at all times. You are right before God because of the blood of Jesus. Those three verses I did read though, all of them had this one phrase in it. The person came to Jesus and said, if You are willing, You can cleanse me. If You are willing, You can heal me. I don't know how your translation says it, but they all approached Jesus with expectation saying, if You are willing, this can be done. What has that to do with us? This is where all those theology classes kick in that we've had. There is God. Remember that? There is God. You remember the attribute of God that I went on about for so long? Immutability. God does not change. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ does not change. If God doesn't change, Jesus doesn't change. If He was willing to touch those lepers, if He was willing to touch the man with dropsy, if He was willing to touch them, He is willing to touch you. He has not changed. The right standing is His sacrifice. Go with eager anticipation, realizing it's a gift from Him, and saying, if you are willing, touch me. He hasn't changed. He will not change. And anyone that approaches with that right kind of attitude is going to receive from Jesus Christ. We need to adjust our attitude and always remember it's a gift and not something we can demand. We should look to Him with appreciation, expecting good things from Him because that's all He ever gives us. We should see all these blessings as a gift. You know, this is a bad illustration, but I couldn't think of any other. I have friends that like to frequent the bars. And they'll tell you, at closing time, they put on beer goggles. You guys ever heard of beer goggles? What it means is you're drinking beer out of your glasses, and you get two glasses, and look at all the ugly women. And when you look through beer goggles, all the women look pretty good at closing time. And that's what they're saying is, oh, if you get drunk enough, you'll date anybody. Everybody looks good when you look through beer goggles. I couldn't think of any other thing to say but that. The illustration is this, and it is different, but similar. Folks, we are to look at every situation through gospel goggles. We don't have to wait till we're almost drop dead drunk to make everything look right. But if we put on gospel goggles and look at everything, everything will be better. Everything will look better. You can say it's looking through rose-colored glasses, but as long as those glasses were tinted rose-colored by the blood of Jesus Christ, it's all right, because He said all things will work together for our good. We will be blessed. He will grant us blessings. He will grant us goodness. Any bad thing will become a good thing if we look through those gospel glasses and see through the blood of Jesus Christ that everything comes toward us will be good or will become good to us because of that blessing, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God to sozo, salvation. Remember that salvation isn't just eternal life. It's everything we need. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that He took our sins and all of our failures on the cross, and He died and He shed His blood, and His blood covers all of our sins, and He killed our sin. Then He gave us sozo, meaning He gave us salvation in every area, in everything we do. He is always salvaging everything. That's why anything that goes wrong in our lives, He will sozo it. He will change it for our good because He's salvaging even the bad things to become good in our life. Sozo, salvation. Sozo, salvation. It's coming to us. It will become to us as good. Look at this world through gospel goggles, through blood-colored glasses. Expect, expect, expect. Expect a miracle to get a miracle. Expect a miracle to get a miracle. That phrase was made famous by Norman Vincent Peale. Expect a miracle to get a miracle. It happens. If it did not happen, I would not be up here telling you about all this stuff. Years ago, before I understood the rightness and the grace of God, things happened to me. And then I got told that I had to get right with God, and it was my responsibility, and it wasn't God's, it wasn't Christ, it wasn't the blood on the cross. It was me, 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 me. I could no longer carry the burden. I couldn't keep up with it. God's blessing stopped flowing to me until finally one day I said, God, I don't get it. What's the problem? And He said, you're not trusting in the blood of Christ. You're not trusting in the grace of God. You've got to trust in that and that alone. When I went back to that position, just like I had when I was a new Christian, went back to that position, the blessing started flowing again. The blessing started coming. Folks, trust in the blood of Jesus Christ and expect good things based on that and that alone. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much for the joy that's sourced in Jesus Christ. Father, we're trusting in you to take care of every situation in our life. We expect you to intervene in our lives this week. Help us to have the goggles to see it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.